You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On Jets podcast on this Thursday, August 30th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or Spotify. We'll deliver the show to your device each day as it posts. You can listen to us at your convenience whenever you feel like it. And if you like the show, give it a good review in iTunes. It helps us out. We certainly do appreciate it. So I was sitting around yesterday, and I had mentioned how today we were going to talk about the preseason finale against the Eagles. And I was thinking, man, I got nothing on this game. Like, I couldn't care less about this game. This game is so insignificant. Maybe some roster battles. People will have their chance to make a final statement, as we discussed the other day. But this game just really does not have much intrigue. I mean, we're going to watch Christian Hackenberg go out there for the Eagles. I guess maybe that could be entertaining. And, you know, maybe that helps you evaluate, because if you're part of the cornerback group and Christian Hackenberg goes out and has a good game against you, you should be cut automatically. So, I mean, but outside of that, I'm thinking, like, I got nothing. And then the Jets kind of helped me out a little bit, because they made a trade. They send Teddy Bridgewater and a sixth-round pick to New Orleans for a third-round pick. So the long-awaited Teddy Bridgewater trade, which it seemed like it was going to happen eventually. I mean, I don't know that we knew the exact date. I mean, we didn't know whether it would last into the season, whether the Jets thought maybe they could get better value if they waited for a quarterback injury. We did not know what other teams were offering right then. And I was kind of in the camp, I said this on yesterday's show, that if I got to the deadline, I could not get anything better than a fifth-round pick, I probably would take a fifth-round pick. I think I was at the point, though, the threshold for me trading him yesterday probably would have been a third-round pick. If I was offered a third-round pick, yeah, maybe there's a scenario where somebody suffers an injury in season at quarterback and is willing to make a deal. I mean, there are a couple examples of that recent NFL history. You have, of course, most famously, the situation Minnesota had 2 years ago when Teddy Bridgewater actually got hurt in training camp, and they traded a first-round pick and I believe a fourth-round pick to Philadelphia for Sam Bradford, in a very similar situation because Bradford was kind of the established veteran in Philadelphia, and they had just made a trade. They had made their own trade up to draft Carson Wentz, a rookie. Wentz stepped into the starting role. And then if you go back in, long enough, I think 7 years ago, Jason Campbell got hurt with the Oakland Raiders, which precipitated a trade for Carson Palmer. But I don't know if that's something you really want to count on, because it's possible it happens, but it kind of requires a very specific scenario. You know, if you're talking about the ideal date for a trade, you probably wouldn't want it any later than this weekend, because the quarterback has to start learning the playbook on the new team, which, you know, is going to take some degree of time. And there are just certain teams that I don't think are going to be willing to trade for a quarterback in season. I just feel like certain teams are going to say, we're going to go with what we got because these guys know the system. So I think you'd be limiting yourself. And, you know, the other aspect of this is there are going to be teams that just make bad evaluations and they overrate what they already have in their locker room. So they won't trade for a quarterback like Bridgewater. And the example I think about is a year ago with the Green Bay Packers with Mike McCarthy, who talked about after Aaron Rodgers got hurt, he kept talking, Brett Hundley's my guy. I've been training him for 3 years, and that did not go very well. But it shows you, they probably should have, you know, I don't know if there was anybody available who could have, you know, saved their season. You know, losing Aaron Rodgers is kind of a big deal, but Mike McCarthy, maybe he went on and on about how Brett Hundley was his guy. Well, maybe Brett Hundley shouldn't have been his guy, but they were not going to trade for anybody in season. So, you know, the mechanics of this, I think, probably got trickier. So I think with the third-round pick on the table, better, you know, a bird in hand is worth two in the bush, as the old saying goes. And obviously, I think this is the topic of the day over the fourth preseason game. And I'm sure we can come up with some stuff to talk about in tomorrow's show about what happens in the fourth and final preseason game tonight. But, I mean, it's just not that interesting. Hackenberg may give you some entertainment. Today, we're going to talk about the Bridgewater trade. And, you know, I was on the Gangrene Nation Facebook page yesterday, and somebody mentioned how they were excited to hear what Joe has to say on Locked On. Joe. So I'm going to take that as a compliment that you're excited to what I have to say. I'm going to hope it was a typo. My name is John. And I mean, I think it's kind of funny. I would hope that that was a typo because, I mean, I've been, you know, doing this podcast 2 years. I've been writing for 10 years. Hopefully we know my name's John, and no offense taken, of course. I thought it was kind of funny. My initial thought on this deal, though, if we're just talking about breaking it down, is kind of what my thought was when the Jets made that trade with the Colts to move up from 6 to 3 all those months ago. And what I said at the time is, it's very rare when I look at a trade in the NFL and I think off the bat, you know what? I think this deal is going to end up making sense for both sides. You know, usually you get one side you think did a little bit better. But I think this is the type of trade that really does make sense for both. I think both teams could end up very happy with this deal. I think that's quite a plausible scenario. You know, the Saints get a new quarterback. They get Teddy Bridgewater, who, first of all, gives them a quality backup. And this is a team that's got Super Bowl aspirations. And we saw last year, I mean, you don't need to go back very far in the NFL to understand the value of a backup quarterback for a team with Super Bowl aspirations, because the defending Super Bowl, the team that won the Super Bowl last year, showed you that, how important it is to have a quality backup. So if nothing else, Bridgewater gives them that, and it gives them some peace, probably should give them some peace of mind as insurance for, as Drew Brees, you know, who has not missed much time in his career, but is getting older. And I think as you get older, there's always a concern about something like that. Now the Saints, but I think longer term, this could be, it's quite possible that the Saints are going to move on from Brees after the year, as because he's, you know, late 30s, you know, getting up there. This could be near the end, which means they may have acquired their quarterback of the future for a third round pick, which, you know, it's not bad. That's pretty good. And they don't have a first round pick this year. At this point, and things can always change, we've seen it year after year after year, the evaluations can change as the college season progresses. At this point, it doesn't look like that strong of a quarterback class. And as we've also seen, it's better to come up with a succession plan sooner rather than later when you have an old quarterback. You can look through recent NFL history, teams with aging quarterbacks as they approach retire age. It's better to have that addressed before the guy retires than it is after he retires. Now, there's no guarantee Bridgewater's back. There's no guarantee this is Drew Brees' last year. But I wonder the extent to which this is the Saints thinking to the future. Okay, we're going with Bridgewater. You know, maybe this is Brees' last year. Now, Bridgewater's on the last year of his contract, so no guarantees. Again, no guarantees Brees retires. But you wonder whether this is the Saints maybe saying, all right, we're thinking to the future. And we'll talk a little bit about how this is history repeating itself ahead. Now, I know this is the Jets podcast, and you can go to Locked On Saints for a fuller breakdown on the Saints' perspective on this deal. But I do think this makes sense from the Saints' perspective. And I do think in some ways maybe it's history repeating itself a little bit, because Drew Brees' trip to New Orleans was a rather roundabout in and of itself. It began, if you go back to 2004, when the Chargers drafted Philip Rivers in the first round, and Brees had kind of not been Brees's career was not off to a good start. The reason they drafted Rivers is because they thought Brees was a bust. He was 3 years into his career. He had shown very few signs that he was going to be a successful player. They drafted Rivers to replace Brees. Rivers ends up holding out in training camp. This was not a Sam Darnold couple days holdout. He was out weeks, which cost him a chance to win the starting job. Rivers may have ended up being the week one starter for San Diego that year if he had been in camp on time. So Brees kind of got the starting job by, as Homer Simpson called it, the two sweetest words in the English language, default. And out of nowhere, had a great year, had a really good year. And it was funny because it really was out of nowhere. Even as the season started, there was a game week two against the Jets where he was actually benched late in the game for Doug Flutie. And suddenly he just took off. His career took off, so he retained the starting job into 2005. Rivers' second year, Rivers was on the bench. And if you remember, near the end of that season, a lot of the buzz was they were going to trade Rivers and keep Brees. And then Brees suffers a devastating injury at the end of the season, which led the Chargers to move on from him and go with Rivers, because it was viewed as a career-threatening injury. Brees was a free agent after the season, so they let him go in free agency. And, you know, another subplot to this was that the Miami Dolphins were in the mix, Coach Nick Saban, and for whatever reason, they did not like the medicals on Brees, so they went and traded for Dante Culpepper instead, whose productive career was pretty much over at that point. So Brees ended up with New Orleans, and, you know, Miami at that time was coached by Nick Saban, who was the legendary college coach, and there's this, you know, perception that Saban couldn't coach in the NFL, and I always thought it was kind of unfair because if you were, he was in Miami for 2 years, and that first year, they went 9-7 with a team that wasn't that talented. Saban did a good job that first year, and if Brees had gone to Miami, you wonder how things. He may still be in Miami. They may have, you know, they may have had a run that could rival New England because Saban can coach. But anyway, Brees ends up in New Orleans and goes on this run. And is it a case of history repeating itself, where just something bizarre happens, where another team's starting quarterback suffers a devastating injury, which ends his relationship with that team, and then the Saints pounce? And Bridgewater, I think Teddy's going to be I like Teddy in that system. I like Teddy in that Sean Payton system, so it's a good fit for them. And from the Jets' perspective, I mean, look, this was not going to be a situation where you're going to – I don't think this was a situation where you were going to be able to get a number one pick the way the Eagles got for Sam Bradford a couple of years ago. I think there's just too many questions around Teddy. You know, look, he's done a good job in preseason. He's taken some hits, but I think there are going to be some lingering questions about that knee. And I think that was going to prevent the Jets from getting a bigger haul for him. Now, that said, I mean, look, the Jets do not have a second-round pick because they made the trade for Sam Darnold. That deal's worth it if Darnold pans out. No problem with that. But you were looking to recoup some draft capital, and ultimately, you got a day two pick. You did not get a second round pick. You got a third round pick. So it's not quite as good. But now you're back in business. Now you got three picks in the first 2 days. You have your regular allotment. Now, again, this is probably going to be a late third round pick because you're expecting the Saints to be good. But this Jets team played its cards right. And listen, you know, there are people who love Mike Maccagnan. There are people who hate him. I mean, I see people who praises every move. I see people who criticizes every move. And you got to look at it from the standpoint that there are plenty of things he's done wrong. When he does those things, you criticize him. There are plenty of things he's done right, and when he does them right, you praise him. And my quibbles with the amount of money Josh McCown got aside, he has done a masterful job at the quarterback position this offseason. You know, he really did. I'm not crazy about the McCown deal, but aside from that, really a great job. At a point where it was unclear what was happening at the quarterback position, because he could not predict it. He couldn't see into the future. He did not have a crystal ball. He did a good job hedging his bets by signing Teddy, because he did not know the quarterback he was going to get. I think we all assumed he was going to pick somebody in the first round. It was still plausible at the time they signed Teddy that they were going to go round two, round three, maybe a guy who was a bigger project. But even if they had stayed in the, you know, even if he picked a guy in the first round, it may have been a guy who was a project who wasn't ready to start. And you wanted to have somebody with some upside there in case it didn't launch. You know, in case it was another situation like with Petty and Hackenberg, where you draft a guy and that guy's just not going to be ready. You had Teddy in the mix. He could start this year. He was a guy who gave you another lottery ticket. He gave you a longer term option. And you got him for very cheap. I mean, you really paid next to nothing for him. Most of the deal, you know, a lot of very little guaranteed money if the knee did not hold up. The Jets did, now part of that may have been reflected in the fact Teddy may not have had a ton of interest in the rest of the league, but good contract, good job there, smart job hedging their bets. But they went all in when they saw the real blue chip quarterback. You know, when they had an opportunity to land the blue chip quarterback, they did. They made the deal, they moved up, and they got him. And then, yeah, hey, you know what? Everybody needs a little bit of luck, and they got a little luck when Darnold fell to three, when the Browns took Mayfield, when the Giants took a running back. They got a little luck, but hey, a lot of it's based on luck, and the Jets have not had a lot of luck. Part of the reason the Jets have been bad is luck. So part of it's been bad management, but part of it's been luck. This year they had good management and good luck. And once the Jets took Darnold, it was only a matter of time before he took the starting job. And look, is Sam Darnold a perfect quarterback today? No. Is he going to be a top five quarterback this year? No. Is he ready to start though? I mean, I think he is. I don't see what would be gained by keeping him on the bench, because from my viewpoint, if you have the basics down, you're not going to learn anything else. Now, if your footwork needs some work, you know, if there are issues with you reading defenses, if you're not, you know, not used to doing something like that, then okay, maybe you need some work on the practice field to get that down. Darnold has the basics down, and he even has some of the advanced, not all the advanced stuff, but he's got some of the advanced stuff down. So there's no need. I mean, I don't see what was to be gained by keeping him on the bench. And, you know, if this was like a year where you were winning out or you were going for it all, then fine, I understand starting Teddy. But it almost felt to me like starting Teddy this year would have delayed the inevitable. So that leads you to just a question of asset management, which we'll discuss. Once you decide on Sam Darnold taking the starting job, the question becomes, how much value does Teddy Bridgewater have as a backup? And ultimately, that question is answered by another question, which is this a Super Bowl or bust year? You know, is this a year where you're trying to win now? Now, if it's a year where you're trying to win now, the backup quarterback has a lot of value because, again, we saw that last year. I mean, I can't get over the people who are criticizing the Eagles for not trading Nick Foles. I mean, did you watch last season? Did you how is the lesson of the backup quarterback's value lost on you? I don't understand that. But the Jets are not in a year where they're trying to compete for the Super Bowl, and that's straight from the CEO. And if the CEO is telling us we're not going to compete for a Super Bowl, why would you make a decision based on only on this year and only on this year? Because Teddy Bridgewater wants to start in this league. He's not going to stay to be Sam Darnold's long-term backup. So if the CEO is telling you, and this again, it's coming from Chris Johnson, the guy running the team, why would you not plan things out as though you're not competing for a Super Bowl this year? And I know the Jets are going to try and win. I'm not saying the Jets aren't going to try and win a Super Bowl, but realistically, if you look at where this team's probably not there yet. And it would be wise to think longer term. Building every team is kind of a balance between trying to do what's best for your team today versus keeping an eye on the longer term. At this point, the Jets should be looking at the longer term more than the today, because they're building for the long. That's what they're building for. It's not so much something that has to happen now for this team. You've got the rookie quarterback. Ideally, this is the first of 15, 16 years with him. You're thinking about the future. So Teddy Bridgewater on a one-year deal is only going to help you this year. And even then, it's questionable how much he's going to help you, because it's pretty much relies on Darnold either playing ineffectively enough that he's benched or getting hurt. And then Teddy would have to be the difference between, I don't know, not making the playoffs and making the playoffs, which the team may not be there. You know, the team may not be in a position like that. So that's a lot that has to go right for Teddy to even have value this year. And long-term, he's got no value because he's leaving. So it's pretty obvious they had to trade him, because he could produce a pick like this. He could produce a day 2 pick. That's a valuable pick. Now, it's not a guarantee. Draft picks aren't a guarantee. I understand that. But that's a chance to add. It's a realistic chance. Day 2 pick, you have a realistic chance to add a contributor on a very cheap salary for 4 years. That's valuable for the Jets. So I think to me it's just a no-brainer that you make this deal if it's presented to you. And yeah, they gave back a 6. I mean, whatever. It's so essentially the Jets used Teddy Bridgewater to move up 3 rounds in the draft. That's pretty good. And ultimately, if you follow the series of moves that the Jets made, and part of it involved changing on the fly after they landed their favorite quarterback prospect, but if you follow the contract, you follow the dead money, the Jets essentially bought a 3rd round pick for like $500,000, maybe somewhere between $500,000 and $1 million, depending on who you listen to, in terms of the dead money they're going to take on this Bridgewater contract. There's barely any dead money on this Bridgewater contract. They had him for 4 months. He lost his value through no fault of his own because the Jets drafted Darnold. So the Jets are essentially paying like $500,000 for a 3rd round pick. That's pretty good. I think, of all the people who are going to be upset, I mean, I think this is a deal that works out for everybody. I think the one guy who may be a little disappointed might be Teddy Bridgewater, just because he's wanted a team to start on. You know, he wants his own team, and he's going to have to sit for another year. And, you know, this may end up being a good situation for him if he can sign with the Saints long term. I'm sure he's a little disappointed, though. Although, you know, one person made a good point on the website yesterday. He said, you know, Teddy had a big smile on his face in preseason. He's probably just happy to be back after his injury, which is a good point. So, you know, so maybe it's not the end of the world for Teddy. I mean, I'm sure he's just happy to be back in the NFL. But ultimately, I think you just have to tip your cap to Mike Maccagnan here. He handled this situation perfectly. He, You got the best of all worlds. He got his franchise quarterback, and he was able to kind of help replenish his draft capital a little bit by making this deal. And essentially what it was is he bought a third-round pick for next to nothing. Let's just put this in context. And sometimes it's good to, like, kind of point out comparable trades. This is not a direct one-to-one, but remember when the Browns had to take Brock Osweiler's contract to get a second? I mean, that monstrosity of a deal. In this instance, it just had to take a little bit of dead money in order to get a third-round pick. It's pretty good. And I think it's a deal that works for everybody. I think everybody's going to be ultimately pretty happy with this deal. Saints may have gotten a good value for a guy who, you know, could be their quarterback of the future. He could be their quarterback, you know, after 2018. It's possible he's their quarterback for the next decade. And the Jets got a pretty good pick for a guy they did not give up much to land. The guy they ultimately did not pay much to land, so that's not bad either. So I think win-win. You know, I don't think there are a lot of trades in the NFL where you can say win-win. And look, the ultimate judgment of the trade is how these things actually work out. How does Bridgewater produce for New Orleans? What do the Jets do with this draft pick? I mean, that's ultimately what matters. But at this point, I think there's a good chance that both sides are going to come out pretty happy with this deal. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe, iTunes, Spotify, two great options. And leaving the show a good review in iTunes if you enjoyed is also an excellent option, if you ask me. Hope you have a great Thursday. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk about the end of the preseason tomorrow.